Today's shiur is a Masechta Soita on Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin at the top of the Yomid with the new Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us review the Psukim in Sefer Bamidbar Perik Hay, which have to do with the understanding of our Mishnah and the subsequent Gemara. We are about to learn how the Megillah Sota was erased in the water, and then the sota would drink that water. If she was innocent, she would have children if she was never able to have children before. If she had sickly children, she would have healthy children. On the other hand, if she was found indeed to have committed an aveira, then she would die a horrible death. And the olos, the curses that are found in the parsha of Sota, are written on a megillah, and that megillah is then erased in water, and the Sota drinks the water. We are going to be discussing five psukim in Perek Hay, from Pasuk Yutes through Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Pasuk Chaf Gimel is actually the one that tells us that the olo should be written, as the pasuk says, v'kosav es ha'olo yisoeila ha'koyin ba'sefer, the Kohen should write these curses in a sefer, u'mocha el me'amorim, and then he should erase them into the bitter waters. The discussion, the three-way machlokas that we're going to have in our Mishnah, will center around what is considered to be the olos. Which parts of the Megillah Sota are considered to be the olos that are erased and put into the water. So let us review the four psukim prior to Pasuk Chav Gimel, from Yutes through Chav Beis, and as we will see, each phrase has a different meaning, each phrase has a different purpose, and there will be a machlokas whether the purpose of that specific phrase is included in what we call the olos or not. Begins Pasuk Yutes. V'hishbia oisa ha'koyin, the koyin will make her swear. V'omar ala'isha, and he's going to say to the woman. So this first part is considered a tzavo to the koyin to be mashbia. And we will see whether it is included or not. The next part of Pasuk Yutes is the following. He will tell the woman, Im loy shachav ishoy soch, if no strange man slept with you, vim loy sotis tuma tachas ishech, and if you did not stray by becoming tomei under your husband, by doing an aveira, then there's something positive. Hi noki mimei hamorim, hamorim ha'ela. Then you will be considered clean from the devastating effects of these bitter cursed waters, waters that bring curse. This is known in the Gemara and Rashi as klolois habois machmas brachois. Here we're saying if you didn't commit an aveira, then you'll be innocent, you'll be clean, but we can learn from that if you were not faithful to your husband, then in fact you will not be clean. So this, as we will see in the Gemara, will be a question whether it's included in the olos or not, since there's a negative connotation from the positive that the pasuk is speaking. But it's a klola that comes machmas a bracha. Is that considered an ola or is it not considered an ola? Pasuk chaf is, according to all shitas, included in ola, because the pasuk says, ve'at ki sotis tachas isheich, you who, if you have strayed under your husband, v'chi nitmeis, and you became tameh, you did an aveira, v'yitein ishbach es shechoftoi mibaladei isheich, and some other man slept with you besides your husband. So that is definitely showing that you have done something wrong, very negative. That is certainly going to be included in the Allah. The Pasuk Chaf Aleph says, v'hishbia ha'koyin es ha'isha, b'shvua sa'ala, then the kohen should make the woman swear with the shvua of the curse. V'amar ha'kohen l'isha, the kohen will say to the woman. Now this again is in the category, as we had at the beginning of Pasuk Yutes, of tzavo to the kohen to be mashbia the isha. and there will be a question whether this is included or not, and what will the actual shvuah and curse that he makes the woman swear? What is that? Continues Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which again is according to everybody part of the curses. Yitein Hashem oisach l'olu l'shvuah b'toy chameich. You will become a curse and a shvuah amongst your people. B'seis Hashem es yireichech noifelas v'esbitnech tzava, when Hashem will give you the punishment if you have committed an avera of having your thigh fall and your stomach extend. And then Pasuk Chaf Beis continues, and the beginning of this Pasuk is again a beferish shaklala, uvo hamayim ha-ma'orim ha-elam b'me'ayich, these cursed waters, these waters that bring curse will come into your stomach, and what will they cause? Lots by spetten, to make the stomach extend, v'lam pil yorech, and to make the thigh cave in and fall down. And then Pasuk Chaf Beis concludes, V'amra ha'isha amen amen. This is known as Kabbalah Sa'isha. The woman is makabal upon herself this shvua with the effects, chas v'shalom, if there was an avera done, the negative effects. And now we are ready to begin our Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, bo loy, if the kohen comes now, lichtevis a Megillah, to write the Megillah Saita, the Megillah of curses, me'ezem makamu kaisev, where, from what place, in those psukim that we just mentioned, does he begin to write? And the Tanakama, who we're going to see in the Gemara, is Rab Meir, and Stam Mishnah is Rab Meir, if we have an anonymous Mishnah. It always goes like Rab Meir, mi ve'im loishachav ish, and the Bach tells us, as we see beferish in the Pasuk, that the Vav is extra, and it should be, me'im loishachav ish. This is referring to Pasuk Yotes. The first part of the Pasuk, according to Rav Meir, is not written because that's a tzavot to the Kohen of Hishbiya Isa Kohen V'Amar Isha. That's not written. That's not considered part of the Allah. But the Klola that comes from the Bracha in Pasuk Yates, Rav Meir includes. And what V'Goymer? Im Loi Shachav Ish Oysach, that's the part, Im Loi Shachav Ish, that's the part that our Gemara quotes. And V'Goymer, finish off Pasuk Yates, V'im lo yisatis tuma tachasi sheikh, hinake mimei hamorim hamorim ha'ela. Then we go to Pasuk Chaf, V'at kisatis tachas I sheikh, and here the Gemara does not say V'goymer, but it should be etc. V'goymer, and we conclude the whole Pasuk. V'chi nitmeis v'yitein ishbach es shechofta mibaladei ishech, ishech. So that's the end of Pasuk Chaf. V'einoi kosei v'yishbiya koines ha'isha. The next part of Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which begins with a tzavoa, a commandment to the kohen of what you should do to the woman, v'yishbiya koines ha'isha b'shvua sa'ala. And again, it should say v'goymer, etc. V'omra koin le'isha. All that is not included, according to Rav Meir. The Kosev, what he does write in the Megillah, is the next part. Yitin Hashem Aysach La'Allah Ulishvuah. And again, it should be V'goymer. B'toich Ameich B'seis Hashem Asireichich Noifelas Asbitneich Tzava. And then we go to the final pasuk, Chav Beis, which the Mishnah now quotes. Uvo Amayim Amorim O'ela B'meyayich Latzbois Beten v'lantpil yareich. That is all of a feirish curse, and it should be included. And then Rav Meir concludes the einoi kaisev, but he does not write the final four words of Pasuk Chaf Beis v'amra isha amen amen, because as we mentioned in our Hagdama, those four words are the Kabbalah of the Isha, that she's makabal the shu on herself. This is the way Rav Meir understands what Pasuk Chaf Gimel means when it says v'kosav es ha'olois ha'ela. So according to Rav Meir, we do not include any tzavah. We do not include the Kabbalah of the Isha. We do include, of course, a beferish curse. And we even include a bracha, which from the bracha I can deduce a curse such as we find in Pasuk Yates. Rabbi Yossi says, Lo yahya mafsik. Once he started writing, he is not mafsik. He goes straight. Einachanami, even according to Rabbi Yossi, the first few words, Vishbi of Pasuk Yates, Vishbi Oysa, Koin Varmal Isha, is not included. But once you begin writing, which according to Rabbi Yossi, you do include the klolos that understood from the brachas and pasuk tests. Once you start from v'imloi shachav ish oisach, you go straight down till the end, and even through the Kabbalah of Omro Ha'ish Amen Amen at the end of Pasuk Chav Beis. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Atzmai Eina Kaisav. Rashi says that the words Kol Atzmai means Lishna B'Yamu, it's like an expression, that he writes nothing more than the following. Yitin Hashem Aysach La'olo L'Shvua, which is in Pasuk Chav Aleph, in the middle of Pasuk Chav Aleph, but we will have to include Pasuk Chaf, which is the introduction to the curse, Va'at ki satis tachas yisheich v'chin etmeis v'yitin ish b'och eshchafta mibaladei yisheich. That's all leading up to the curse he includes, but he's trying to mimamayate that the tzavah of Ishbi HaKoinis Isha v'shvuz ha'olah v'yomar HaKoin l'Isha, that's not included. And then he goes to Yitin Hashem Aysach, he does include Lo Lushua, and the Goymer, he finishes off that part of the curse, and then he goes to the next and final pasuk of Gimlu, Voa, Mayim Amor Me'elib, Me'ayich, the Goymer, Latzboi, Spetim, Vilinpol, Yarech, Ve'ena Kaisav, Amra, Isha, Amin, Amin. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he'll do the beginning of the whole curse, which the events that led up to the curse of pasuk Chaf, he'll start in the middle of Chaf Aleph, and he'll end in the middle of Chav Beis. He will not say the final Kabbalah of the woman of Amen Amen. This is the three-way machlokes that we find in our Mishnah. And now the Gemara immediately asks, B'maiko miflagi, what exactly is the machlokes between Rab Meir, Rab Yossi, and Rab Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, B'hai kroko miflagi. They are arguing in the pasuk that follows these four psukim that we were discussing in our Mishnah, pasuk Chav Gimel. The pasuk says, V'kos of us always say, Eila HaKoyim B'Sefer. The Koyim should write these always in the Sefer. What do we mean by these alois? So Rav Meir Savar, that we darshan the pasuk in the following manner. Alois, alois mamish. That, of course, refers to the curses that are written beferish clearly in the pasuk, that they are included. The Kohen writes those. Then the pasuk says, ha alois, l'rabois, that includes the hay of ha alois. It could have said alois, Eila, it said ha alois ha Eila. There's two hays that are extra. So the first hay Rav Meir learns is mar beklolois habois machmas brachois, that in pasuk you test those clause that we deduced from the brachois, you're clean if you did not commit an avera. But if you committed an avera, we can deduce then you're running into problems and curses. So those curses are also included. And where do we learn that out from? The extra hay of ha'olois. Then we have ha'olois eila. So eila, these lamuti klolos from Mishnah Torah. This excludes the clause of Moshe Rabbeinu. If someone doesn't keep the Torah in Sefer Dvorim, Moshe Rabbeinu said ha'olois. And how do we know they are referred to ha'olois? Rashi brings down the pasuk in Dvorim Chavtes, v'hoya b'shamay as divrei ha'ol azois. So those curses of Moshe are referred to as Allah. So I would have thought that when the Kohen has to write the olos, it includes not only the olos of the Parshas, the Megillah Saita, the Parshas Saita, but even the olos of Mishnah Torah. Therefore, it says, Eila, that you don't write the olos of Moshe Rabbeinu in Mishnah Torah. What's the ha'elu? Ha'ela? Ha'olos ha'ela, an extra hay? Lema'uti tzavois for kabolos amen. The tzavois of what the Kohen has to make the woman swear. And also the last four words of the pasuk in pasuk Chav Beis, Va'omra Ha'isha Amen Amen, when she's makabel this upon herself, those are not included. How do I know it? From the hay of Ha'ela. And Rashi points out that the Gemara is soon going to ask, why is it that in the preceding word of Olois, that the hay we said is Marbe, even those clawless of pasuk Yutes, which we deduce from the brachas, and the hay, the extra hay of ha'ela, is mamayit. Either the hay should be marba always, or the hay should always be mamayit. And here, according to Rabbi Meir, the first hay is marba, the second hay is mamayit. Why is that? We'll see the answer in a few lines. V'Rabbi Yossi, kula k'dekamrit. Everything is as you just said. As Rashi explains, the alois means alois mamish. The ha alois, I agree with you, are the claws that come because of the brachas. Ela is maye, the claws of Moshe Rabbeinu and Mishneh Torah. But the only place where I disagree with you is ha'ela. Because einachanami, I won't learn it out from the hay. I will learn it out because the pasuk says, the cost of esa'olay so'ela. He could have said, the cost of ha'olay so'ela. What's the esa'olay so'ela? So he say, es, le rabois. Es comes to be marbet, savois, vika bolois. That even the tzavos of the koyin and the kabbal of the woman when she said amen amen, they're also included. And Rashi points out that according to this sheet, we'll have to say the hay of ha'ela loy sidraish, and the hay is urchahu. That's a normal thing to write over there ha'ela. That's not abnormal. We don't darshan it for a ribui. We don't darshan it for a miyut. And in fact, the s is marba. Even the tzavos and kabbal of amen. So according to the shita of Rav Yossi, the only thing we're memayet are the olois of Moshe Rabbeinu in Mishneh Torah. Everything else, once you start writing the olois from Im Lo Shachav Ish Oisach in Pasuk Yutes, you go straight down till the end of Pasuk Chav Beis, and everything is included. The klolos that come from the brachas, the tzivuyim to the koyin, the Amar Amen Amen of the Isha, everything is included. Rab asked the Gemara, Rab Meir, what about Rab Meir? What does he do with Esla Rabbis? Esim loy darsh, he doesn't darshan Esim as does Rav Yossi, and therefore he's not Marbet Savois and Kabbalas. He says that they are excluded. Rab Yehuda, and Rab Yehuda, who is of the opinion that the only things that we write are the feirish olois, he learns kulu all hays b'miute darsh lahu. He uses hays always as a miut, and therefore let's go through the words again and the drashas. Olois means all is mamish. Those are the feirish, distinct, clearly written curses. Ha olois l'mute klos abos machmas brachas. The ha'olois is a miut, and that's b'maye, the clause of Pasuk Yutes that comes from the brachas. Eile, the word eile, lemute klosh v'mishneh Torah, which everybody agrees to, we're b'mayet. Ha'eile, lemute tzavos v'kabbalos, that's b'mayet tzavos v'kabbalos. He doesn't learn es l'rabbois. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the hay causes that we're b'mayet the klolos abos machmas brachas, and the second hayes b'may tzavos kabbalos. The only thing you have left are the beferish olois, which are start in pasuk chaf, leading up what events occurred that the woman is going to get these curses, and then in half of chaf aleph and half of chaf beis we have the actual curses, but nothing else is included. Ask the Gemara to Kasha that we mentioned before from Rashi. Rab Meir Maishna Hai Hei Demar Bibei Umaishna Hai Hei Demayet Bei. Why is it that the Hei of Ha'olois is Marbe, the claws that come from Brachas, and the Hei of Ha'ela is Memayet, the Tzavois and the Kabolois of the Amen? Why here to use hey to be marben? Why here to use hey to be mayed? Answers the Gemara, hey, the gabi de ribuya, ribuya. If you're doing a hey of olois, and olois itself, we were saying that it is telling us that you include the beferish olois. So then I say that the hey of the olois is also marbe the klolos habois machmas brachas. But hey, the gabi de miyuta, but the word eila, which you said, is memayet, the olois of Mishneh Torah. So once I have a hey on that word, which is a miyut word, hey, the gabi de miyuta, miyuta, the Bach puts in the word he. So that is a miyut. If the word is including something, then the hey includes more. If the word is excluding something, like eila, then the ha'eila further excludes the tzavois and kabbalois. Amen. Now the Gemara asks Akasha, which Rashi tells us is based on a Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Nun Zayin, in the Sugya of Tanai Kafel, Vaholesla Rab Meir Michlalavata Shemeya Hain. You're telling me that according to Rab Meir, we can make deductions. We can be marbe, a klola that comes from a bracha, but we find in the sugya of Tanai Kafel, which has to do when Moshe Rabbeinu made the Bnei Gad, Bnei Ruvain, swear, he made a Tanai with them, a Tanai Kafel, either way, that if they want to get the chelik of, on the other side of the Yarden, on the eastern side, then they first have to go to the western side and fight with their other brethren, defeat the Knanim, and only then will Moshe Rabbeinu give them the chelik, their chelik in Aver HaYarden, in the eastern side of the Yarden. So Moshe Rabbeinu made it a Tanai Kafel, and Rab Meir requires a Tanai Kafel. If you go over with your other brethren and fight with them, then I will give you the Aver HaYarden, and he spelled out, and if you don't go with them, I will not give you the Aver HaYarden. He didn't say, well, we can deduce that if you don't go over, you won't get it. No, you have to make a Tanai Kafel, you have to make it both ways explicit. So Rab Meir doesn't hold of deduction. He doesn't hold I can learn the negative from the positive. So if so, or the positive from the negative for that matter, either way, you have to spell everything out. So how can I say that over here, by the Parsha of Soita, the olos that have to be written, I can figure out from a bracha that if you were not faithful to your husband, then there is a klola, and that's also accepted as one of the olos, but Rab Meir doesn't hold of deduction. From the negative, you can't figure out the positive. Amar Rabbi Tancham, said Rab Tancham, here it's not a question of deduction, but rather, here, we're going to learn it, as Rashi explains, that a hay can be changed over to a ches. Hay and a ches are mischalif. And the word hinake usually is written hay yud nun kuf yud. Here the ksiv, the Gemara says, is hinaki without a first yud, only the final yud. So therefore it could be read as the word chinaki, which means that the person should get chenek, the person should die. So, if so, explains Rashi, that we will take Pasuk Yates, which till now we were under the impression is telling us bracha, and really we can learn the Pasuk to tell us openly a klala. We won't read it as the normal way. Im loy shachav ish oysach, v'im loy satis tumatachzi sheikh, Hinaki mimei amorim, but rather we will start from the word satis tuma tachas isheich, not from v'im loy satis, but we'll start from if satis tuma tachas isheich, then hinaki mimei amorim, you will die from the mei amorim. So if so, Rab Meir is not coming on to deduction, but rather Rab Meir is saying that from the way the word is written, we can read it in a way that you could read it with a ches, and that it actually means that the Torah is telling us beferish and not through deduction that the woman is going to get killed. So it's not a stira with what Rab Meir holds in Kedushin and Zayin in the sugya of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven concerning Tanai Kafel. Dorish Rabbi Kiva made a drasha, Ishvi Isha, Zachu, if they are worthy, Shechina b'neim, then Hashem is found amongst them. But Loi Zachu, if they're not worthy, Eishai Chlosan, a fire consumes them. As Rashi explains, in the word Ish, you have a Yud between the Aleph and the Shin. At the end of the word Isha, you have a Hey. Ki b'ka Hashem Tzurei Lam, Hashem created the world with Ka, Yud, and a and then a hey, yud and then a hey, spells out Hashem's name. So if a man and woman are faithful, Rashi says that they go b'derech yishara, and in the third last line, second last line of the short Rashi's, lalechz b'derech yishara shalo yehe hu noyef lo hi noyefes. If they're faithful to each other, they don't commit znus, then they have Yud and the Hey, and they have Shechina b'neihem. And the Ramban goes in the Igeres HaKodesh a step further and says that even if they don't commit zinus, but if their whole physical relationship together is one of lust, and it's not one of Kedusha, So then also it's not Shechina Shara B'neiim. Then unfortunately it'd be Loi Zachu, if like Rashi, they are Menaif, they're Mezana, they do Averis, they're not faithful. According to Ramban, if they're not able to elevate their relationship together, their physical relationship to one of Kedusha of spirituality, Loi Zachu, then the Shechina exits, the Yud goes out from Ish, and the Hey goes out from Isha, and what do you have left from the Ish? And what do you have left from the Isha? You have Eish, and then the fire consumes them. Amar Ravu, the Isha adifim the Ish, as Rashi explains, the punishment that will come because of the fire of the woman is harder and quicker to take retribution than the man's. My time, what's the reason? Because Haim Etzarif, because here the Eish Aleph Shin is together. V'hai loy metzarif, and here the Aleph Shin is not together. The Yud is in the middle. By the case of the Isha, the He is at the end of the word. The letter that is part of Hashem's name is at the end. So if Hashem goes away, what are you left? An Eish, which the letters are right next to each other. Mashiach came by Ish. The Yud of Hashem's name is in between the Aleph and the Shin. So it's not immediately put together. It's not naturally put together to fire. But rather it's already separated, and therefore it's not as quick to punish as that of the fire of the Eish of a woman. Amar Rava, Neimam, Ratar, why did the Torah say? Havei, offer the site to bring dust, earth to a sota, to put it in the Me'amorim, and the answer is, because we know that if she did not commit an Avera, then she's blessed. If she wasn't able to bear children, she'll have children. If she had unhealthy children, she'll have healthy. And now we get even a bigger bracha, Zachsa, Yoitze, Mimenu, Ben, Kavram Avinu. If she married, she will get a son like Avram Avinu. Dichsiv Beit, it says concerning Avram Avinu, Offer Ve'efer, Avram said, Anoichi, what am I? I am earth and ashes. So that's why we put in the offer to show her a hope that if she's innocent, she's going to get a child like Avram. Laizach, if she's not worthy, the earth also has symbolic meaning. Tachzer la'afra, she's going to die and she's going to go back to her earth. Darish Rava, Rava made a drasha. B'schar shamar Avram Avinu, in the merit that Avram Avinu said, V'anoich offer ve'efer, that I'm earth and ashes, and he was humble. Zachu barav l'beis mitzvahs, his children were merited to two mitzvahs, which will give them, as Rashi explains, some hano, as we'll see in the Gemara. Schar means that there is some tangible benefit to the children through these two mitzvahs. What are the two mitzvahs that they were zaycha to? A, for pour the ashes of the por aduma, the offer saita, and the earth of the saita. As the Gemara, Voyekanami offer b'kisui adam, what about the earth that covers the blood in the mitzvah of a bird or a chaya, that the blood has to be covered with earth? That's another mitzvah. Why didn't we mention the earth that's used for kisui adam? Answers the Gemara, why can't we say that that's the earth that Avram got as a reward for saying that he is earth of ashes? Answers the Gemara, no. Hasam hechsher mitzvah ikka. You're right, by kisui adam, a mitzvah was done when he covers the blood with earth. But hanah leka, we don't find any tangible hanah. And we said that bischar, in the reward that Avram said, offer vei for his children, azoicha. So the way the Gemara, with Rashi's explanation, understands that there has to be a tangible benefit. So by offer of the kisui adam, Rashi says at the end of the third wide line, ve'ein ze kibbul schar. It's a mitzvah, but there's no kibbul schar. Avol kan, let's learn the Rashi together inside. Avol kan yesh hano. There is hano by the other two mitzvahs that the Gemara mentions. B'soita, by a soita, the earth of a soita is lase shalom. Once she's found innocent, that will bring back the shalom bias in her house. V'shal yar b'mamzer b'yisrael. If she dies because she's guilty, it will cause that we will not have many illegitimate children because of the averas that she commits with other men. Im zaynahi, if she's a zayna, v'im noksa, and if she's innocent, v'nizra zera, then she'll have children, v'atelis lazmi albonel, and then also it will remove any suspicion against her children that they are not legitimate children. Those are all the benefits of for saita. The efer pora, the ash of a pora. What is the hanoah there? A, it's matar them lataran from tumas meis. Vil zakoy says Yisrael mi maaseh egel. It gives them merit from the, it's a kapara, forgiveness, on the chet of the egel. So these are all the positive benefits from ofer soitan, efer, para aduma, mashenkin by offer kisyadam. There's a mitzvah, but there's no tangible hanot. Dorish Rava, Rava Darshan, Vizcharsha, Avraham Avinu, in the reward that Avraham Avinu said, Imichut Vatzrech Naal, that I will not take from the king of stone. After Kedar La'Omer captured Light, and then Avram defeated Kedar La'Omer, and he freed Light. So he told the king of Stoim, I will not take from you a thread or a leather strap, Imichut Vatzrech Naal. So in that marriage, Zachu Banav Lebeis Mitzvahs, his children were Zachu to two mitzvahs. What are the two mitzvahs? Chut Shel Tcheles, the thread of Tcheles, Uretzua Shel Tvil, and the strap of Tvil. And we see right away the Mida Keneged Mida. Since Avram said this, the Chut, for the Chut, I won't take a Chut, he was Zachu to the Chut of Tcheles, the thread of Tcheles, and for saying he won't take a strap of a shoe strap, he was zochet to the strap of tefillin. Now, Rashi says on the fifth wide line, what great thing did Avram do here by saying, I don't want the michut v'atzrech now, shehivriach atzmeh min gezel, he ran away from gezel. And the Sefer Eitz Yosef asks a question, why is Rashi coming up with a new zuchus that Avram did here? The pasuk itself says, "V'loy soimer ani asharti as Avram." That's the reason. That's the motive that Avram himself said to Melech Sdom, that people shouldn't say, you shouldn't say, others shouldn't say that who made Avram rich? Melech Sdom, when he gave him all this booty. So why is Rashi saying that the zuchus of Avram is here that he stayed away from Gezel? So the Eitz Yosef has a very beautiful pshat that really Avram made two statements. Number one, he said, "Im michut v'atzroich nal." Number two, "V'im ekach mikol asher loch." Explains the Eitz Yosef that he was trying to say as follows. The first part was, "I'm not going to take from you chut v'atzroich nal," as Rashi says, "That was shivriach atzim and agezel." Anything that you captured, which you may not have been really entitled to, which has in it a possibility of gezel, I don't want to take that from you. Maybe you will say to me, well, I'll give you something that I know 100% for sure there was not a shrach gezel attached to it. Then Avram added a second phrase, v'im ekach mikol asher loch, even something that you own 100%, there is no gezel, but that I don't want because v'loy soimer ani ashartis Avram. The reason of v'loy soimer ani ashartis Avram is from that part where there is no gezel, which is coming from you that I also don't want, that people should say, look who made Avram rich, it was Melech Sdom. No, Hashem, if Avram has any possession in this world, it's all coming straight from Hashem and not from the generosity of Melech Sdom. But the reason I don't want mechut v'atzroich na'al, that's as Rashi correctly says, because he wanted to stay away from anything that might have anything to do with gezel. So the schus of staying away from even a thread or a strap is the chut shel tcheles and the ritzu shel tefillin. So the Gemara says, bishlam ritzu shel tefillin, I understand, as Rashi explains, in the same method that we said before, that there was hanoh, there was schar, a benefit. There's a benefit. That's the reward that the children got. Dechsev, v'roh kol ami oretz k'shem Hashem nikra alecha. All the people of the world will see that Hashem's name is called upon you. V'tanya, and we learned in a brayso, Reb Lezer Agadol Omer, that Reb Lezer Agadol said, elu tefillin shebereish. These are the tefillin shebereish, and they'll be afraid of you when they'll see you wearing the tefillin. So that's a benefit. Ela chut shel tcheles mahi, what is the hanoh of the chut of tcheles, the sanya? We learned in a brayso, hoy Reb Meir Omer, man ishtana tcheles v'kol minei tzevayin. Why specifically in the tzitzis was the tcheles chosen to be the bluish, purplish thread in the tzitzis? Why specifically that color? The answer is, v'nesha tcheles dom liyam. The tcheles is like the Mediterranean Sea, v'yam dom l'rikia. And the sea is like the heaven, v'rikia dom l'kisei kovet. And the color of the sky is like the heavenly chair, throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenamar. How do I know that the heaven has a color, like the Hashem's Kiseh HaKavod, because the pasuk says, "Vayiru es alikei Yisrael." They saw Hashem, "V'tachas raglav kamaseh livnas hasaper," and under his feet was like a safir fire brickwork. And ukeatz mashman lotayr, and that color, that bluish color of the sapphire brickwork, was like the essence of the pure sky. Uksiv. So that's how we know that the sky has a sapphire look. Uksiv kemari evan saper demus kisei. The kisei had the form of a sapphire stone. So we see shamayim is sapphire and the kisei covered is sapphire. As Rashi explains, why don't we just say the tchelis is like the shamayim? The answer is the tchelis is not exactly the same color as shamayim. It's a doma ledoma. It's similar to the yam. We don't have psukim on this, but this is a metzias. If you look at tchelis, you'll see it looks similar to the Mediterranean Sea. And you look at the Mediterranean Sea, it looks similar to the heaven. Why don't we say that the tchelis is doima to the kisei HaKavod? Because that we don't have a pasuk for. We only have a pasuk that the shamayim is like the kisei HaKavod. But once I know that the tchelis is doima to the yam, and the yam in turn is doima to the shamayim, on the shamayim we already have a pasuk that shows us the shamayim is evan hasapir, that sapphire bluish look, and the kisei HaKavod has that same sapphire look, and therefore the tchelis comes out to be like the kisei HaKavod of heaven. And Rashi tells us, five lines from the bottom of the Amid, bolu lamdeinu shekol ha-mekayim mitzvos tzitzis ki'ilu hikbo p'nei Hashem. This is the schar, the hanoah, a person who keeps the mitzvot tzitzis, is doime as if he has received the p'nei Hashchina, and therefore this indeed is a great reward and a great hanoah in the schus that Avram said, im michut v'atzroich now. Continues the Gemara. We now begin, not the Gemara, but we begin with the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, the last line on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Ein Kosev Loyal Aluach. He does not write the Megillah Sota on a wooden tablet, Veloyal in the Yor, and not on papyrus, which is shredded grass, which has glue on it, and it looks like skin, it looks like cloth parchment, but that Nior, that papyrus, we're not allowed to write on either. We're going to learn this from a pasuk. Veloy, as we turn to Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Veloy al ha-diftera, and not diftera. What is diftera? Rashi explains that it is skin. However, the skin that makes cloth is caused by salt together with flour and water and gallnuts, apits, afotzim, gallnuts. And the difter does not have the gallnuts. It only has the skin treated with salt and flour and water. So it's not finished parchment. It's not acceptable. Ella ala megillah. Only on a megillah, which is cloth. Rashi explains, shenemar basefer, because the pasuk says in a sefer, and wherever it says sefer, it means the hide which has been treated with the salt, flour, water, and the gallnuts. The einakos of the ink that he uses cannot be loy bekumus, it cannot be gum that is diluted in water, veloy bekankantum, and it cannot be, as Rashi says, vetrol, which is a sulfate, which is also not acceptable, veloy bechol dover shiroshim, not anything that's absorbed into the cloth. It has to be on the surface, it has to be able to be erased, elabidjoy, only in our ink. Shenemar umocha. The pasuk says that the kohen has to be able to erase it. We learn out, says the Mishnah, ksav sheyochlem lehimochis. The Bach puts in the hay, a writing that is able to be erased, and not the kinds of writing materials which will be absorbed inside the cloth, and therefore they will not be able to be erased. Says the Gemara, we're going to learn six different halachas concerning the Megillah Sota. Today, Be'ezus Hashem, we will learn four of them, and in tomorrow's shiur, we will end up with the last two. Amar Rava, the first halacha of Megillah Sota is that Megillah Sota shekasva b'layla psula, that if you wrote a Megillah Sota at night, it is possible. My time. What is the reason? Asiya Torah Torah. We have Xer Shavu with the word Torah by Megillah Sota, and the word Torah elsewhere. Ksiv Hachet says here by Saita Va'asala Akrenis Kala Torah Zeis, he should do the whole Torah to the woman, whatever it says in the Megillah Saita. Uksiv Hasiman, it says over there concerning when a mishpat is a judgment, al pi ha-Torah she-yarucha, based on the Torah that they will teach you. Val ha-mishpat, and on the judgment, ma mishpat b'yoyim. Just like judgment is in the day, how do we know it's in the day? Rashi brings from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf lamed dalet amud beis, because it says by nachlos, by inheritances, v'hoya b'yoyim hanchiloi, on the day, and we say it's in the daytime, so the dinim have to take place during the day, so just like by dinim, they have to take place in the daytime, af megillah saita, where it also uses the word Torah, you have Torah in both places, it also has to be by yom. So that's the first halacha, that a megillah saita that was written at night is possible. Second halacha, kosulam afreya psula, if you wrote it backwards, is possible. Either the whole megillah saita, whatever has to be written, or even a few words. For example, Rashi gives a marshal that we have the words Lot's bois beten, vilin pol yerech. If he writes it backwards, yerech vilin pol beten and Lot's bois. So he writes it backwards. That is possible. From where do we know that? Says the Gemara. Dichsiv v'kosav esolois ha'ela. Rashi says it's mashma as they are. These words as they are. In order, the order that they appear in the Parsha of Saita. Kiddich Siva, they have to be Ha'ela, they have to be Kiddich Siva in order. The third halach is that Kosva Kadam Shet Kabbalah Lashua Psula. If he writes the Megillah before she accepts upon herself the Shua, it is possible. She first has to be Makabal the Shua, and then he has to write the Olois, as we learned on Amud Aleph, in the Megillah Saita, and then it has to be erased. How do you know that she first has to be Mekabel de Shuush and Amr, Vishbiya? He makes her swear, and then it's, and then, Va'acherkach, it says, Vikosa. First she has to swear, and then he goes ahead and actually writes it. Vishbiya koin es isha b'shuush Allah, V'omra koin le'isha yitin Hashem, and then comes the Pasuk of the Kosav, which is in Pasuk Chav Gimel, the Kosav is Allah Ha'ela Ha'ali Sa'ela Koyin Basayfer Umacha Amei Amorim. So the order is that first she's Mekabel Yeshua and then he does the actual writing. The fourth halacha is Kosva Igeres Psula. If he writes it like an Igeres, it's possible. Why? Because Basayfer Amar Rachman Atari says a Sefer. Rashi says what is an Igeres Beloy Sirtut. That means that he did not etch lines into the cloth so that the letters could be started at that line, and therefore the letters could be in a straight order and the same height, but rather he wrote it like a letter without sirtud, without etching any lines in the parchment. That's what an igeris is called. But since we learned that it has to be ba sefer, that he has to write it because of his olus ha'elah kain ba sefer, not in an igeris. So if he writes it in igeris without sirtud, psula, because ba sefer amar rachmanah. So we've learned today the four halachas out of the six, that a Megillah Saita that's written at night is possible, a Megillah Saita that's written backwards is possible, a Megillah Saita that's written before she's Mekabel Yeshua upon herself is possible, and a Megillah Saita that's written like an Igeris and not like a Sefer, it's written without Sirtut, is also possible. And Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, in tomorrow's Shir, we will conclude with the final two halachas of these six pertaining to Megillah Saita.